Last time I spoke, I talked about perfection and how we must strive for it, even though it can be very difficult at times. And at this point, to be absolutely perfect is impossible. We know that one day we will become perfect, just as God our Father and Jesus Christ are perfect. To help us better become perfect, I briefly talked about three traits that we can apply in our lives, which we read about in 1 Corinthians 13. Those three are hope, faith, and love. So what I'd like to do today is talk about those three traits and elaborate further on these three in our lives. There are many things that we hope for. We hope for success. We may hope for happiness. We may hope for a better future, even though we know what the future will entail. But what we do hope for is what our purpose is. We hope to be in God's kingdom, to be like God, to be rulers, to be perfect, and to have everlasting life. We also may hope for new beginnings, as we pretty much do every year when we partake of the Passover, like we just did. We start over fresh, hoping that we don't continually stumble into mistakes that we have done in the past. And if we do, we also have the hope and the faith that we will overcome it. Because we hope for certain things, sometimes thinking that what we may hope for may seem impossible, it's never impossible to God. However, if we already came to the conclusion that it is impossible, then it will be impossible. We have to think beyond that. We have to think like God. We have to believe and remember what God promises. Now, Abraham did exactly that at the end. He was given a promise, and what he had hoped for came true. Romans chapter 4. We'll start there. Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Who, contrary to hope, in hope, believed so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Now, because he had hoped, he also had to have incredible faith. To hope, you also must have faith. They go hand in hand. We see in the next verse why Abraham had the faith that he had, in verse 19. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. We also receive that hope to have that chance to receive everlasting life, and to have our sins forgiven because of what Christ had done for us. Chapter 8, verse 24 of Romans. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? So you also have to believe that and continue to believe that. That is why we were reminded that every single year. In verse 24, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. I just read that. Verse 25, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Just because we don't see something doesn't mean it doesn't happen. You know, when Christ came to do what he had to do, you know, to die for our sins and gives everlasting life, we didn't have to witness that to believe it. What we read here in the Bible is obviously what we have to believe. Because we didn't witness it doesn't mean we don't believe it. We don't have to see things visually to believe, but what we read about here is true, and with hope and with faith we will be able to see it clearly. Since hope and faith go hand in hand, let's now talk about faith. I mentioned earlier that in order to have hope, you must have faith. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. This tells us what faith is. You can't hope for something if you don't have any faith. Also, faith alone is not enough because it also needs action. So what do I mean by that? Let's turn to James chapter 2. I'm going to read James chapter 2, verse 14 through 26. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Verse 24, you see then that a man is justified by works, and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works, when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Notice the examples of people in these scriptures here who had to have that faith. You think you're alone sometimes, right? If we want to survive spiritually, we need to have faith, and we also have to practice our faith with action or works. One way to do that is through prayer. James chapter 5, verse 13 talks about specific needs, something that we are going through right now, of course. There's always need for this. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, humanly speaking, how could that be? You know? Obviously, that was a miracle by God to do that. And don't think that some of the things you pray about seem ridiculous. You know, there's nothing ridiculous to God. I mean, it really depends on what it is. But, you know, it doesn't hurt to ask, right? You know, sometimes it's very easy to forget to pray, especially when you're frustrated about something, or maybe if you're frustrated with yourself. You sometimes may think to yourself why God would even want to listen to you after you did something you know you shouldn't have done. See, prayer may also be difficult to keep up as a habit, to do it consistently every single day. However, there is a lot of power behind prayer. Even though God knows what we are going to say, even though He knows what we are going to think about and what's always on our minds, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't pray. See, prayer is for us. It's our chance to communicate with our Creator, to let Him know what we think about, and when we ask for forgiveness and healing, and when we ask for our specific needs. We have a special connection with God when we pray to Him in private. And while you pray, you have the faith and belief that what you ask for, you will receive. Matthew chapter 21, verse 21, talks about exactly this. Matthew chapter 21, verse 21 and 22. Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it will be done." Of course, this is speaking figuratively for big problems that we have in our lives. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. And also in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." Drop down to verse 20. "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Also, through our good deeds and doing the right thing, doing what we're supposed to do, we have to show that we have faith in God. Don't pray with doubt." Read about that in James 1, verse 6. We already mentioned Romans 4:18 earlier, showing again how hope and faith go hand in hand. I do want to read verse 19 again of Romans 4. Don't have to turn there. You can if you want to. Romans 4:19. "Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old." And let's drop down 20. "He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform." Again, we're talking about Abraham, who is human just like us. Time and time again, we read about promises that God states in the Bible. We have to remember and never forget about that when we are in time of need. Our faith must also be in God, and we should never doubt God, because He knows what is best, and we should never doubt what the result may be. This is a specific reason why things happen to each and every one of us. Sorry, there is a specific reason. We should never underestimate God's power. Of course, we do have a part in this, and praying one time is not enough. As we must continually have faith, we also must continually pray. David prayed continually, and he also learned a lot by going through certain trials in his life. But he had to come to that conclusion the hard way several times by suffering the consequences of his wrong actions. However, he always had the faith and the confidence that he would overcome his trials, and that God was always with him. He understood that he had a special protection from God, and he believed that God was with him. So let's turn to Psalm chapter 91. Psalms chapter 91, starting verse 2, we'll read up to verse 10. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. That described there are really terrible times, and they're going to happen again. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near you, near your dwelling. Just as David did, we also must have the same belief and the faith in God. Another prayer I want to read about is in Psalms chapter 6. And this is described as a prayer of faith in the time of distress. David prays, saying in verse 1, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver me. O save me for your mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? I am weary and with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. My eyes waste away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. How many times have we felt that way? Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly. There are many kinds of prayers throughout the book of Psalms. It's a prayer of guidance. It's a prayer for deliverance. It's a prayer of thanksgiving. A prayer of confidence. It's a prayer in time of chastening. A prayer for wisdom. And a prayer for forgiveness. There's a prayer to God in time of trouble. There's a prayer of repentance. There's a prayer for safety. And there's also prayers to do with rejoicing in an answered prayer. Do we sometimes forget to thank God if He had answered our prayers? Or do we just take it for granted? Psalms chapter 28. Verse 1, we read about rejoicing in an answered prayer. Psalm 28, 1 to 2. To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock, do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications. When I cry to you, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. And in verse 6, blessed be the Lord, because He has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise Him. Psalm 30 also talks about an answered prayer that is blessed. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face and I was troubled. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. And Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. See how this prayer goes hand in hand with the prayer I read about earlier, where he is asking for all those things, and now that he has gotten them, he doesn't stop there. He keeps going. He tells God how thankful he is. But not just once. He keeps doing it, because we must always give thanks. Faith must also be continued throughout our lives, and we should never stop believing, especially when times are tough. Sometimes may seem so tough that it can't even be handled. But that is not true. There is nothing that we can't handle. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 reassures that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35-39. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Our faith is tested at times to see just how strong we really are. I tell you, at times it's very frustrating. Of course, it's very scary. It's really tough. But that's human nature. That's what we heard about. Sermonette. It's absolutely normal to feel that way. I mean, it's what sermon by Kale Mitchell. We usually come to our senses after a little while, and then we start to look at the bigger picture, don't we? You sometimes wonder why certain things are happening to us. Is our patience being tested? James chapter 1, verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. This is exactly what we have to be joyful about. A lot of good, as hard as it may seem, comes with the trials that we go through. Continue to have faith in God to overcome our trials. And by doing that, we continue to show God how much we love him by keeping his commandments. By believing and having faith, we also show love. So, for a third trait, let's talk about love. Why is love so important? Why is it considered the greatest of all three? You'll soon find out just how vital love is, and that we must have love in our lives if we want to survive and also be a part of God's kingdom. With love also comes hope and faith. When we love, we fulfill the law. Romans 13, chapter 8, Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 through 10. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is a fulfillment of the law. Doesn't mean the doing away of the law, because if that were true, then there would be no love, and what sense would that make? God makes specific commands as to how we should love one another. First of all, even though it may be tough to do sometimes, but we are commanded to love our father and mother. And read about that in Ephesians chapter 6. Of course, I always love them. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Next verse could also apply to mothers. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in training and admonition of the Lord. See, it's worth to keep this commandment. Why? Because you will receive promises, just like it says here. But if you can do that, if you can love your parents, and parents love your children, well, then you can love anybody, right? See, we have a reward when we follow these simple instructions, even though they are challenging at times. We can certainly show love towards others if we do this. We know that we should not murder or commit adultery or steal or bear false witness against a neighbor, and we shouldn't covet. God's commandments show love. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his sons to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. And down to 16. And we have known and believed that love, the love that God has for us, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we have a boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. In chapter 5, verse 1 through 3, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who has begotten him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. God's love shall always be in us. When we apply all three traits in our lives, we see how all three work together, how they complement each other. And when we hope for something, we show love because we'd really love for that to happen, wouldn't we? Romans 5:5 says that hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us at our baptism. We are reminded constantly, every year, with keeping of His holy days and the meaning behind them, just how God's law shows love and how Christ loved us so much that He sacrificed Himself for our sake, that we can have our sins forgiven and that we can obtain everlasting life. We also do our part by keeping His commands, showing Him that we do love Him and His law, because we know that His law is perfect, based on love. For the final scripture, I'd like to read 1 Corinthians. I did it last time, but it's fine. I'll do it again. Because this is the overall summary here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Tell you more detail and more in depth what love is all about. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love has patience with one another. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, because true love is not boastful, and love is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, and it thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy and prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away those childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. The greatest of these is love. When we pray for one another, we show love. When we have faith and hope towards God and what He promises, we show love by asking Him and giving Him thanks for all that He does. When we go through trials, we show God that we love Him, because we know that there is nothing too difficult for us to handle. And at the same time, God loves it when we apply all three in our lives and when we succeed.